أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وكريمنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. وقال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. صدق الله العظيم. Infinite praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we touched on a very important topic and also a very challenging topic for all of those who are fathers and for all of those who will be fathers, insha'Allahul Aziz. And it was something that all of us know but fail to acknowledge. All of us realize but fail to actually bring about a change within our lives and the structure of our families and our homes. And that is the father never actually being home and the father never taking an active responsibility in the upbringing and the nurturing and the development of the child. So what the father has done ultimately is given the power of attorney or complete authorization to the mother that she does whatever she wants to do. She can decide in all of the different aspects because the father is too busy earning money and paying off bills and providing for them financially. But we learnt from the three different stages of a child's development that the child needs the father in every single one of those stages. The emotional bond at the beginning is absolutely crucial. And similarly, between the years 5 and 8, when they are forming their identity and learning how to become a man, that it is important for them to see their father so that they can replicate their father and the behavior of their father. And also the years onwards after that, the teenage years, where a huge amount of change takes place in the life of a child, whether boy or a girl, biological, physiological changes are taking place, emotional changes are taking place, and they need that one place of safety, that one place of stability where they can go without being judged, and they know that they will be supported and they will find that with their father. So we discussed all of these in quite a lot of detail, and we learned that everything in terms of a relationship needs to be done together and collectively. When a child is created, the mother doesn't create the child on its own, and neither can the father create the child on its own. When the semen or the sperm meets the egg and fertilizes, that is when a child actually comes. So it is the mutual exchange of these two things, and the DNA and the structure of the child is taken from the father as well as from the mother. So it's from both parents. So why is it that when the child comes into the dunya, then the father has nothing to do with the child because he's too busy doing other things, providing or doing all of these other things? No. You both came together and you created this child by the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that child is not just the mother's. The child is equally yours as well. And you both have a stake in the development, in the upbringing, in the future of the child, and you both are responsible. But especially yesterday we talked about the responsibility of the father in making sure that he is there, and time, and the time that he gives, that is more important than the money that he will give to the child, because the time is priceless. And the quality time that a father spends with his children, it will stay with the child for a very, very long time, whereas money will come and go. And when we do provide money to our children, more often than not, it's a substitute for the lack of our time, for the lack of our being there, for the lack of our presence. And this is something that we need to change. We need to give more time and qualitative time towards our children. And you will see that they will not need money, they will not need items, they will not need all of these materialistic things, because they have you. And when you have your parents, then you don't need anything else, because with your parents come all the khushi, the ghami, the happiness, the joy, everything comes with your parents. And we also, you know, gave a very simple example yesterday to understand the importance of a father's role, is when a child often is in pain or is in loss or is in suffering, generally they always call out to their mother. They cry for their mother and they yearn for their mother. And this is something that we need to change as well. If you are constantly there for your child and you are there in their emotional stages, in their physical stages, in their mental stages, then they will also remember you and they will also call out for you. But if you are never there, then why would they ever remember you or call out for you in the time of their need? So these are the things that we need to really assess and reflect upon and really see where are we going in our lives and how are actually our families developing. So what we will do, inshallah al-Aziz, today is continue with some more responsibilities of the father. And some of us may find it boring that, oh, you know, walidain di shahmat aayi, you know, ma pyo di shahmat aayi, especially pyo di shahmat aayi. It's nothing like that. But it's important for us to, you know, really kind of wake up and smell the coffee, as they say, and realize our responsibilities. And only when somebody points something out to you, then you realize that, okay, I'm failing in this, or I'm actually doing this, or I can increase this, or I can make this better. So the verse that I recited at the beginning was, Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu awfu bil uqood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here reminding and commanding all of those people of Iman that fulfill your promises, fulfill your responsibilities. And these responsibilities are the religious responsibilities, the spiritual, the financial, the physical, the social, the communal. All of these are responsibilities are inclusive of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equally addressing the fathers and the mothers, that you make sure that you fulfill your responsibility towards your children, that you are there for them. If you are not there for them, then a stranger will be there for them, or somebody that you do not know or do not approve of will be there for them, and they will not necessarily guide them to the right way. They will not actually bring them up in the right manner, the way that you want to bring them up, because our deen teaches us what is right and what is wrong, and we have a certain way of our life. So you need to fulfill your responsibilities towards your children. The second verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us yet again, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That, oh, who you believe, save yourselves and also save your family members from the fire of hell. If you are never home, you don't know what your child is doing, especially the fathers. You don't know who they're talking to, what kind of interactions they have with the opposite sex, what they get up to in their lives, in their private lives, in their social lives. So you, by your own omission, are allowing your children to go into their destruction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, first save yourselves. And also make sure that you save your families. And saving yourselves and your families is not something which is passively done. You have to actively avoid an obstacle. When you're on the road and you're driving at 70 miles an hour and there's an obstacle in your way, you have to actively think about that and avoid it. You can't just passively think, you know, let's just drive over it. Similarly, all of these challenges, these obstacles in your lives as a father, as a parent, you need to actively avoid and you need to actively protect your children from destroying themselves, because a child is developing, and until they gain experience and maturity, they will not really and truly know what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. This only comes with maturity and with experience. So you need to be there during those years, those crucial years, those very delicate and sensitive years, where you are there preventing them falling into their own destruction by their own hands or by their own actions or by their own decisions. You need to be there. Not Google, not somebody else, not their friends or their peers or school, anybody else. You need to be there because you are the first point of call. They are your children. They are your DNA. They are your creation. And you are responsible for them. So you need to be there for them and prevent them from falling into their own destruction. And you need to be there to safeguard them and protect them. So these are the things that I want to remind everybody, and make sure you keep all of these in mind as we discuss the responsibilities related to the father. So from the outset, it's very important for us to see these responsibilities in a positive way. You can view salah as a burden. oh, I have to get up in the morning for Fajr, I have to come for Isha, I have to come for Taraweeh. You can see this as a burden, or you can see this as a great blessing, ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which you will receive a huge amount of reward in the dunya, barakah, also in the hereafter. And at the same time, it benefits you physically. It benefits you because of the taharat, of the purification. It benefits your mind, your body, and your soul. So there are all of these benefits related to it as well. So same with the father, you can view the responsibility of being a father and being active in your responsibility as a burden, or you can see it as a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a burden, where you have to work and work overtime and constantly be tired and come home and then even be even more tired when your kids are messing around, or you can see it as a great joy, as a great happiness, as a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it entirely depends on your perspective and how you want to actually perceive your responsibility. Your home can be a paradise for you, and at the same time, your own home can be hell for you. If you don't get on with your wife, if you don't love your wife, cherish your wife, interact with your wife, communicate with your wife, do mashura with your wife, all of these things that we have discussed, then your home will not be a place of stability, of sukoon. It'll be a place which you always want to avoid. So it'll be another place, you know, of avoidance and a place of hell. So you don't want to be there. But if you love your wife and cherish your wife, and similarly you love your children, then you'll always be eager to go to your children. Why are we always eager to see our friends? We like their company, we like to just chill out and relax. But you need to chill out and relax and enjoy being with your family members. That is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the sukoon. That is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the barakah. The barakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends within the home of iman, the home of security, the home of Islam. So this is how you need to really ask yourself, is your home a paradise? Or is your home from one of the portions of hell? It's entirely up to you. And if you fulfill your responsibilities in the correct way, then your home can become from a gardens of paradise. But you need to see it and view it correctly, inshallah. So today what we'll do very, very briefly is discuss three more responsibilities of the father. And hopefully, inshallah, Al-Aziz will get a better of idea of how we can change and adapt our lifestyles and also our approach as well. So the first thing is that your children are in dire and desperate need for you and for your time. Don't ever think that my child, he can eat, he can walk, he can talk, he can clothe himself, he can bathe himself, he can go to the toilet himself, all of these things, my child doesn't need me anymore. No, your child will always need you in ways and manners that you can never understand, but they will always need you. They may not necessarily say it, that dad, I need you. Mother, I need you. I need you. Have anything like that. Just through their character, through their actions, through their hulia, through their speech, you'll be able to understand. A good father and a good mother will be able to understand, my son needs me. My daughter needs me. Look at their, you know, their shape, their emotions, their feelings, their expressions. They are in need of us. Whether it's just a hug, whether it's just to tap them at the back, on the back and say, don't worry, whether it's a smile, whether it's some nice food, whether it's going out for a walk, they always need you. They will always need you. Your children will always need you. Even when they have children of their own, they will still need you. They will still need you. So this is a very important thing for parents and especially fathers to understand, that your children are always in desperate and in dire need of their fathers. And when you are not there, then you are failing your children, and then their behavior will change. So we're talking especially in relation to the early years when the child is forming their identity, and early years are between 5 and 8 and onwards. And research before used to suggest that the reason why children misbehave, the reason why children misbehave or are delinquent in their behavior, you know, they don't turn up to school and they do this and they do that, all of the put, they say, is due to the oppression that they face in their homes. This is what research used to suggest before. But newer research has actually found that the reason why children misbehave, or why their character is not completely formed, or they do not know how to interact with other people, is because their fathers are not interacting with them and sharing with them those crucial values, that crucial knowledge. I'll give you a simple example from the animal kingdom. If you watch the National Geographic Channel or you watch any other animal documentary, you will learn a huge amount from animals. how the parents are constantly there, they're guiding the children. This is what you do, this is how you hunt, this is how you protect yourself, this is how you hide, this is where you go for safety. All of these things, parents constantly are teaching their children. You know, this is what animals do. But in the example of elephants, elephants, they form lifelong bonds and they stay with their parents for a very, very long time. So they were young, you know, there was a herd or a group of young elephants and they had the mother and they had the father. But the father was killed. And the elephants were all very young, but the father was killed. And before, these young elephants used to go with their mother and their father, and they used to go to particular areas, to crops, to farms, but they used to eat whatever they needed to eat without damaging the surrounding area, without causing harm and havoc to the people and to the farms, to the farmers especially. Why? Because they had the father figure who was maintaining the discipline and the control and saying, this is how you behave. But for some reason, the farmers, or we don't know whether it was poachers, but the father was killed. So the person who provides the discipline and control, he was killed. And then they see in that same documentary that those young children, as they were growing up, because they had no father figure anymore, they were actually going out and killing the farmers, killing the people of that village because they didn't know how to behave. Because they lost that discipline and that control, because they weren't provided that with anymore, they didn't have that guidance. So what the people had to do is they had to source another male from a different area to come in, and they slowly introduced that male into that herd, and then he took over control of that particular group, and then discipline and control was returned back to that group, and those elephants start to grow in a more productive way. So even within animals, you see that when a crucial figure, the mother, yes, will provide and nurture, and the mother knows a lot of things as well, but the father's role is also very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mothers with an emotional side, with a different side, where children learn different things, and they learn different things from their father. So if you see, this is happening between and amongst animals, without a doubt, this also happens amongst human beings as well, but we just overlook it and say, chalo khair hai, aap hi theek ho jaisi. No, you need to be there for your child and you need to make sure that you are disciplining them, you are guiding them and nurturing them in the correct way. And if you are not there, then they will not learn all of these things. And this is why we see children who are highly unstable when they're old, because they don't know how to react, they don't know how to control their emotions and their feelings and express themselves in a calm manner, because their fathers were never there. So they're either too emotional or they're completely erratic and they don't have that balance in their life. And this is because the father figure is never home. So this is very important for fathers to understand that your children need you. They especially need you when you are young, and they will need you as they develop and they grow older as well. There was a chaplain that I know. A chaplain is a person who works in hospitals and various other institutions, universities, but also, namely, they work in prison services as well. They work in the prisons. And the chaplain mentioned that when he went to the prison and he asked the Muslims and also the non-Muslims as well, do you love your father? All of them, they replied, we love our mother. Because sarenu yaad rendi ke, you know, the sacrifices and the things that the mothers used to do, because the mothers spend the most time with the father. But hardly any of the men actually said that we love our father. They were very, very quiet. And then when the time came for Mother's Day, the prison service, they gave out cards and they said, look, here are the cards and you can send these to your mothers. And every single prisoner, they sent cards to their mothers to express their love, their gratitude and their longing, you know, for their mother. But when Father's Day came, the prison service gave out the cards again. Give it to your father and send them out. He says hardly 15 to 20% of the prisoners actually sent out any cards to their fathers. What is this teaching? What is this actually saying and demonstrating? It's showing you the big difference between a father and a mother. And it's showing you that the fathers are failing in their responsibility towards their children. And that is why children don't care for their fathers and they don't actually have that connection with their father. But if the father is there, as much as the mother is there and as much as possible for them, then their child will also form a strong bond with the father. Look at the hoo-ha that happens around Mother's Day. The advertisements and everything happens and how people rush out to get presents for Mother's Day. But it's not the same for Father's Day. You know, it's not the same. It comes and goes, and people don't even know Father's Day ayat kithe gaya. And only a few people will know that it's Father's Day here and there. So you'll see this great difference, this, you know, great chasm between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And it's purely because fathers are not fulfilling their responsibilities towards their children. And until we don't realize this, that our children need us and we need our children as well, then we'll not be able to actually bring about a difference within the lives of our children. So that's the first reason I really, one of the things I wanted to highlight today is that your children need you. And they desperately need you, even though they may not express it, they may not show it, but the father needs to be there because it is your responsibility given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your responsibility as a human being. It is your responsibility, at least as a human being, to make sure that you take care. Even if a mehman comes, you make sure that you are there and you sit with your mehman. You don't just open the door and say, here you go, and then you just put the food on the table and you go, chalo theek hai, when you finish, there's the door, see yourself out. No. What does the mehman want? The mehman doesn't want your food. The mehman wants to come, sit down with you and talk with you. This is what children want. They don't just want a father who comes in, you know, and it's 9 o'clock and they just say, hello, putta tiko, how was your day? And then just go to bed. Or eat your food and go to bed and brush your teeth. No, they need your time, and your children are always in need of you. So make sure you spend your time with your children. It's easy for you to spend your time with the TV, spend your time with your friends, spend your time elsewhere, but it's very difficult for you to spend time with your children because your children will force you to show your emotions. Your children will force you to communicate and to share your experiences, but you need to do that. And we've learned again and again from the lives of all of the prophets, may Allah be pleased with them all, how they didn't give wealth, they didn't give hoards of treasures and everything to their children. The most precious thing that they gave to their children was their time. And they spend that time with their children wherever possible. And they gave them good advice, fatherly advice. And they shared their experiences. This is what I did. This is what happened. That is what happened. And this is what we need to do because we need to realize our children need us. So that's the first thing that we need to get into our heads, fathers especially. The second thing that we need to do and realize is by not actually spending time with our children, we ourselves are denying our own happiness. So what does that basically mean? So when you don't spend time with your mother and father, whose nuksan is it? It's not the nuksan of the mother and father, it's the child's nuksan. Because you are being deprived of that happiness of seeing your father and your mother and their smile and give their advice and their love and affection as well as the food as well. Similarly, when the father is not spending time with the child, you're depriving them, but at the same time you're depriving yourself. Why? Because as we grow, we have stages. When we're young, there's lots of khushi, we're carefree, we don't worry about the world, no bills to worry about, no hesitation, no inhibitions, nothing. Moj, masti jo marzi karo, maapyo hai again, that's it, you know, kulli masti. And then when we graduate and we get a job and we have bills and we then have responsibilities, and when we get married, then more responsibilities come into our lives and then we become less happy. Because we become more parishan, evi karna. So we become less happy. Then we start to smile less. We start to enjoy life less because all of these parishaniya and responsibilities, and then marry more responsibilities, and then all of these things. But with a child, and those who have been blessed with a child, they will realize that you may be extremely tired from a long day. Your manager may have shouted at you, screamed at you. Many people may have wronged you. But when you come home and you see the smile on your child, you need to be there home first. And you need to see your child. And they need to be awake. Not just, bacha so gaya. You need to be home. And when you see the smile on your child's face, that washes away all of your tiredness. All of your hatred and your anger and your frustration is washed away just when you see your child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed insan with something as beautiful as this. You may be tired, but when you pick your child, you will have the energy to pick your child up. You may be so many things, but when you see your child walking around, you will be forced to smile. And when you smile, it releases certain toxins within your body, certain, you know, not toxins, the opposite of toxin, hormones in your body, which make you much more happier and relaxes the humans as well. So these are all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You learn to smile again. You learn to be happy again. You know, before, you know, you used to get frustrated very easily, but when you see your child walking, It makes you smile, it makes you happy. When you hear them talking or babbling away, it makes you happy. When you feed them the first time, when they take their first step, all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a huge amount of blessing within this, that it gives you a new lease to life. You may become Buddha, you may become resentful, you may become angry by the dunya and how the world has dealt with you. But when you have your child and your child is smiling at you, hugging you, running to you, being affectionate towards you and loving to you, then it gives you a new lease to life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your child gives you a new life. You learn to smile again, you learn to rejoice again, you learn to be happy again through your child. But you need to be there for your child to, in order for you to get all of these blessings. And if you don't spend time with your child, then not only are you depriving them, but you are also depriving yourself. And all you'll become is more resentful, and you'll have more hatred and anger within your life, and you won't see the khushi in the dunya anymore, and all you'll see is parishaniya and musibata. Why? Because you're not seeing it in the right way, and you're not spending time with your children in the right manner. So that's the second thing that I want everybody to remember, is to don't deprive yourself of khushi and happiness, and then also don't deprive your children as well. And this is important for the father, because the father is always out. The mother is home. She always gets the khushi, and sometimes too much khushi, when she says, take him, you know, I've had too much. Take her, I've had too much. Okay? So you need to share that happiness and that joy, because it becomes too much even for the mother as well. And the third thing that I want to share with you today, finally, is that it is a great responsibility. Remember, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ, that fulfill your promises, your covenants and your responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon you. So having a child and being a father, there is a great responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon your shoulders. And He hasn't said only the financial responsibility is on the father, only to feed him, to clothe him, to have a roof over his head. These are one of and some of the responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. But the greatest responsibility is for you to spend quality time with your child in their development, in their upbringing, in their nurturing, in their guidance, telling them sahih and ghalat, what is correct, what is incorrect, through your experiences and knowledge. This is what you need to be doing. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentioned that it is better for a man, he is addressing the father, it is better for a father to teach his child how to behave correctly. So it is better, more beneficial for a father to teach his child how to behave, I give him good akhlaq, give him good adab, rather than that father giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving charity is without a doubt a huge reward, because you're benefiting somebody else, so you'll be rewarded for that. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is saying, it is better for you and you get more reward as a father for teaching your child good adab, good values, good manners. But you can't teach your child good values and good adab overnight or in one sitting or in one day. It's something which is gradual and something which is continuous. When you give charity, it just benefits one person. You find a fakir, you find a miskin, you give it to them and it just benefits that person. But when you give your child good adab, good akhlaq, good values, good manners, then that child will benefit his friends, that child will benefit his peers, that child will benefit his community, his society, the neighbors, and see how the reward is much more greater in your child than it is rather than you just giving £1 or £10 to charity. Yes, charity has its own merits, but the greater reward is when you give that good adab, good akhta, good manners to your child, and that child will benefit so many more people and benefit the entire society. This is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is saying that give your child good manners, because it's better than giving charity. But the father, how can he give good manners? How can he teach him kis tarah, you know, khada hui there, baithi there, guftugu kari di, utna baithna? All of these things don't happen overnight. You have to mold your child. When your child is young, they are very headstrong. You tell them to do something and the first reaction is always no. And this is what my daughter says. You tell her to do something, she goes no. But then you have to slowly mold them and teach them. And then you teach them how to say thank you. You teach them how to say please. You teach them to share things. This doesn't happen overnight. It's taken 2 years for me so far. And it's going to take the rest of my life to teach her good manners and good values. And this will stay with her for the rest of her life, but money will not stay with her for the rest of her life. Today you will give her money, it will go somewhere else tomorrow. And it can only benefit one person, whereas manners will stay with her for the rest of her life. It will benefit her, it will benefit her friends, it will benefit her own children and her husband and the future generations as well. So this is why it's very important for a father to be spending time with the child. And if he's never home, how can he ever give those good manners or good values to his children as well? Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if a father, because remember we're talking about the fathers, if a father looks at his son or his daughter with love and affection and admiration, if the father looks at his son or daughter with admiration, you know, with muhabba, with proudness, you know, being proud of your son, being proud of your daughter, not in the negative way, you know, that, you know, my son is better than your son in that way. No, that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a great son, great daughter, and I have tried my best, and they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are faithful, and they're practicing the deen in that sense, in that manner. So if a father looks at his son or his daughter with admiration, with happiness and joy, then he will be rewarded as if he has freed a slave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Freeing a slave is no easy deal. You know, you have to have money, you have to find a slave, and you have to free a slave. It's a lengthy process, and the reward is immense as well for freeing a slave, because all the actions that that slave will do will be going into your account, because now he is free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So looking at your son and your daughter with admiration, with love, mahabba, and affection, it is more rewarding than actually freeing a slave. And you actually get the reward of freeing a slave when you do that. But our fathers don't even look at their children. And whenever they do look at them, there's a frown on their faces. You didn't listen to your mom, you spilled the milk today, you broke the glass today, you do this, you messed about in school today, aaj teri shikayat aayi, ye hoya, wo hoya. It's always a frown, it's always anger, it's always frustration. Where's the love? Where's the mahabba? Where's the admiration? Where's the encouragement and the support? And then you wonder why your child behaves the way they behave, and why they do not look at you with love. When we become old, 40, 50 saal, and we want our children to look at us with love and smile on their face and kiss our hands and hug us and show all of this affection, they won't, because they were never shown this love and affection or admiration when they were young. So this is a very important hadith for us to understand and reflect upon, that a father can achieve the reward of freeing a slave just by looking at his children with admiration. But for that to happen, you need to be home. For that to happen, you need to be relaxed. You need to be spending quality time with your child, and not just say, watch the TV and mere sar na kapa. You know, don't disturb me. You have to spend quality time with your children. You have to invest in your child. You have to invest in their behavior. You have to invest in their future, in their life. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions that if you plant a tree, or if you plant a seed, and that seed grows into a tree, and then that tree provides shelter for people, and that tree also provides fruits for people, every single thing that benefits from that tree, i.e., you know, birds, worms, anything which is living, any human being which sits underneath the shade of the tree, any human being or animal or any living thing which benefits directly or indirectly because of that tree, the person who planted the tree or that seed will be rewarded for that. This is the reward just for planting a tree or a seed. Now imagine investing in your children. When you take care of your children, you have invested in your child. You sow the seed, and the seed brings them into the dunya. And then you have to nurture them, and you have to protect them, and you have to strengthen them. And when you give them good adab, good akhlaq, good values, good utna, baitna, and good deen, and you keep them steadfast, then every single person that your child will be in contact with, and every time your child says something beneficial or benefits any other person directly or indirectly, all of that reward will come back to you, the father. Come back to the father. Remember, a tree is singular. It stays in one place. Animals have to go to that tree. Humans have to go to that tree. But your child, it will go all around Ashton, all around the UK, perhaps all around the world, and every person that he comes into contact with and he benefits or he smiles and shares the deen with, all that reward will be coming back to you. So imagine the amount of reward, the sawab and the barakah that can take place in the life of a father, in the life of a mother, but it can only happen and take place when you invest in your children, when you spend time with your children as well. And when we do things individually, you receive the reward of that individually. But when you do things collectively, then you receive multiple amount of rewards for doing that thing collectively. And especially in the month of Ramadan, we know the things are multiplied by 70, by 25, and by 700 by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this month, and I'm talking to the fathers and addressing the fathers, in this month, in these days, in these nights, invest in your children, sit down with your children, teach them at least one beneficial thing. Teach them some good manners, good adab, good akhlaq, and continue with that throughout the year. And every single thing that they do, know that it will come back into your account. It will benefit you in this dunya, and also it will benefit you in the hereafter as well. So don't just always assume, my giya, ma sambhalevigi, it's her responsibility to do things. The mother and the father both need to work together. And we're addressing especially the father's role, even in the Quran, when Yusuf alayhi salam, when he talks to his father, what does he say? Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaban wash-shamsa wal-qamar ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Oh my father, in my dream, I saw 11 stars. Ahada ashara kawkaban, 11 stars. And this is talking about his brothers, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, in relation to that. But then after that, within the same verse, kawkaban wash-shamsa wal-qamar, and I also saw the sun as well as the moon. They were prostrating to me. And the sun and the moon are only in relation to and in reference to the mother and the father. You can't only survive with the moon. If you only had the moon, then your life would be very, very different. And you can't only survive with the sun as well. You need to have the sun for its day. It provides you with the warmth. It provides you with guidance and light. And this is the role of the father. It allows you to grow, to nurture, to strengthen, guidance, hidayat. All of these things are coming from your father. And at nighttime, when you need peace, when you need comfort, when you need serenity, when you need stability, then you go to the moon and it provides you just enough light for you to relax and for you to calm down and for you to sleep peacefully. That is the role of the mother. So even within the Quran, Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that I don't just need my brothers, I need my mother and I need my father as well. Both are crucial elements in the development of a child. So yet again, for the fathers, don't just think and you can ignore and look over the role as a father and say, I'm providing for my son and my daughter financially and physically and that's it. No, they need your time, they need your guidance, they need your support, they need your security, and only you can provide that for them. Nobody else can provide that for your children. So inshallah al-aziz, we will continue tomorrow. There's only a few more elements that I want to touch upon. There's so many aspects, but a few more elements I want to talk upon for the father's role, and inshallah after that we'll go to the mother's role and various other aspects of the family structure as well. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand the importance of the father's role and the responsibility that he has within his life to make sure that he takes care of his children. He's spending time with his children more than he's spending time with the dunya or with his friends. وَقُلِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا